I'll cover two, it's hard to cover everything. Of course, I want to cover two areas with time permitting. Number one is the union of what it takes to become muteris, all the various stages. And number two, hachakas. I think both are very negaya. Also, both are someone negaya the husband. In other words, actually, everything's negaya the husband, obviously, hachakas very much directly, but also just to go through the various steps of what it takes to become muteris, just so that in case somebody had something confused, certain mistakes could not be a problem for the evid, and certain cases, as we'll see, for the evid are not a problem. Just before I start, there was a letter that was sent out by Shevivim from two OBGYNs in the New York area, and I actually spoke to spoke over here in town a little bit. Just two interesting horrors. One was that these OBGYNs noted that they find in the delivery room they find a lack of yedius. In other words, they feel funny when a woman's having a baby. They find that they're telling the balabas, you know, halachas, even though they're doctors, they're not rabbanim. And that relates to hachakas. One of the hachakas is, you know, to see your wife. Actually, there's two issues here in the delivery room. Number one is when a woman is asura, you're not allowed to see the normal mekaymus that are normally covered. When a woman's having a baby, at a certain point in delivery, she becomes asura. And when a woman's having a baby, she's obviously not in the most sneezy-sticky situation because the doctors are, the nurses are busy, etc. And therefore, there are many times when she's uncovered. So it comes out that here, when she's in that state, and I have to, you know, we all know this, that she's, you know, to see the normal mukaybis amachusim, which right then are being uncovered based on what's going on. So these doctors just noted from their experience there's a tremendous lack of zahiris in that. So it's just something to keep in mind. If your wife's having a baby, then those hachakas are certainly enforced. The second issue, of course, is oisa makam is asur all the time, whether she's mutaris or asura, and therefore to be in the delivery room, whereas it's mutar, however, to watch the actual birth take place, that's also. Even if she'd be muteris, that would be asur. And by the time she's delivering, she's asura. So kal v'chaimer, that's forever. So that's something to keep in mind. The best thing to do, as the doctor noted, is that, well, it's a delivery room, if sometimes they're there for many hours. She goes into labor, and the wife is there for an extended period of time. And now, you know, they're uncovered, they're covered, they're uncovered, and the husband is there the whole time. So again, you have to stake out a position in the room in a way that doesn't compromise on these various halachas. One, the best etza is when the wife is in delivery. So usually she's laying down, and by her head area is obviously not a problem. The rest of her body is covered and uncovered. If you're sitting, if let's say she's here and her head is at the end of the table, and you're facing the other way, you're over here and you're being mechazik or etc. So you won't have any problems because if her head is over here and the rest of her body is this way, and you're sitting here facing this way, then all you really see is her necking up the whole time, or whatever the doctors are doing, they're doing. Obviously, if there's any mirrors there, etc., you shouldn't be looking at. But that's really the simplest etza in Bishas delivery, and therefore you're not. It doesn't become a problem. The only time where matir makayim b'sam b'chusim are there's a halacha that if a woman goes to the mikveh, the husband is allowed to serve as the mikveh lady if there's no one else available. It's not a good idea to know. It's not common, especially here, Baruch Hashem, in a big city like this, the mikveh is well staffed. But there could be a heikh timsa if you're. I get to Shiloh periodically. People are away. And they want to go use a lake, which is really a shiloh in its own right. It's a whole shiloh that's mikvos, whether the lake is good, what lake is good. But in Timsa Leimar, the lake is good, or a heki Timsa where the mikvah, you're in a situation where the mikvah says, you know, we don't have anybody there, you're coming home at 2 o'clock in the morning, and if they let you in, that particular town lets you in, then you serve as the mikvah lady. So what happens then is the wife goes in, and then when she comes out, she's muteris. So the chazal, the Yehuda, matered because we're not afraid. That there you're going to see what's the reason for the gzeira. You're going to see mekaymes hamachusim, and because of that, you're going to want to, you know, it may be bali day iser. But if she can be muteris in 60 seconds, so we're not chayish for that. Therefore, we're makel. So that's really the only heki timsa where the lady's going in and your wife is going in potentially see mekaymes hamachusim. Again, that is a case again where you'll ask a shayla if. If it went, it's a gay. Agav, a lake is complicated for several reasons. One is you got to make sure it's kosher. Number two, is people are in a rush by a lake because, you know, you're afraid people are around and you don't know and it's a private area. And number three is very easy. You walk in and the chatzitza, you know, she could clean herself very well, but you want to make sure she gets in. If she picks up mud off the ground, then right there that's already a chatzitza, then it's got to get off. So some one eight says you go out in a little raft or a little boat, right? And then you get in, you know, your slippers, and then you know you're able to go in, and she could go in. But you have to want to be careful for safety reasons. It's not a geshmak situation. For safety reasons, you're nervous. People are seeing, so it should really only be you know, b'shas hachak. Someone's called me about they were going to be in Deep Creek. We get to Shiloh in the summertime. People go to Deep Creek. For those, it's Western Maryland. It was actually closer to drive to Pittsburgh than it was back to Baltimore. I think Baltimore was 3 hours. Pittsburgh was only 2 hours. And we ended up making the cheshbon. And again, many of these communities, Pittsburgh certainly has a mikvah, and it worked out at the time they called, and it was much better than using the Deep Creek. Agav, they also speak about this really beyond the discussion, but once we're in this OBGYN letter, it speaks about the issue of many women want to have babies at home, and this gets into maybe potential sakonas nefashis, where there are potential issues not in the hospital setting or not in a setting where things are set up properly. So it could be sakana if that's done, and therefore they obviously are against it. And again, the person's not allowed to put themselves in sakana. They speak about people who, you know, convince other people it's the right thing and it's natural, all the reasons, but the bottom line is a person should not put themselves in welcome sakana, and therefore they just note that you know, one should be extra careful in doing that. Okay, let's talk about becoming mutaris. A woman becomes a surah, there are various ways that she becomes a surah. To become mutaris, she needs the 5 days and then 7 days. What that means is as follows. Let's understand the lumbus here. The Chazal, there's a halacha called Peletz Shechva Zera, which means if a woman is Peletz Zera, then even if she began her Shiva Nekiyim, it would go back to zero. Which means, if let's give the Hechitim of Chazal's Gzera here, if a woman, if a husband and wife had relations, let's say on a Tuesday night, and let's say she had a period on the next day, right? So they had relations Tuesday night, and then on Thursday she sees Dam. And it was only a little bit of Dam, and let's say she's able to do Hafsiktara on Thursday afternoon. The problem is that, well, she's still, for 72 hours, she's being poilet to Zera, which means she's giving off this Zera, and that means, even though technically she started Shiva Nekiyim, but that will bring her to zero. So now she's on day one, let's say Friday morning, but since it's within the 72 hours, that activity within her own body is going to put her back to zero again. We have no way of knowing if she's poilet Shiva Zera or not, so therefore Chazal made a Gzera that you have to wait until those 72 hours are done. Okay, and we'll explain how we get to 5 days in a second. And therefore, and that applies even if those 5 days even apply, even if husband and wife say we, you know, the husband was out of town, or we didn't have relations, so there couldn't have been, right? There was no relations since last week, you know, last Thursday night. She saw the following Tuesday, it was already 5 days later. If she does have Sektar on Wednesday, it's more than 5 days. Chazal made a Gzeir across the board, the infinite wisdom. They knew people were mischeshbin, etc. So they said you have to wait. Really, 72 hours really means 4 days. Because days count by day one is the day you see, and then if a woman sees on Tuesday, Tuesday's day one, Wednesday's day two, Thursday's day three, etc. So to get 72 hours means you need 4 days. Chazal added a fifth day, right? They added a fifth day, and therefore a woman cannot do Hafsik Tara until day number five. So if a woman sees, or she has a Kesem, or she had a bad Bedika on a Monday, then Monday is day one, right? And then Friday is day five. She cannot do Hafsik Tara until Friday. Earlier is a problem. Now, B'dievet, really, technically, if a woman made a mistake and did it on day four, then technically, B'dievet, that's okay because you had more than 72 hours. Not that we're semichat the B'dievet, we would make her wait. I'm saying if a woman missed cheshbon and went to the mikveh right by accident and she had only done 4 days, or she missed cheshbon when she saw it, she thought she saw it, she wasn't seeing, it was a kesem, then technically a day early is not a problem. Not to be confused, I mentioned this halacha not to be mekel here because we're machmir, but to contrast that with if a woman was short on the Shiva Nekiyim, that is b'diavad a very serious problem. In other words, a woman didn't have sektara on a Thursday, and she's able to go to the mikvah Thursday night, assuming everything was good, and she went to the mikvah Wednesday night, right? Then that's a very serious problem. The mikvah is not good, and you ask a shaila, in fact, she can't just go Thursday night under certain conditions, and it's a whole, that's a very serious problem. In other words, she's asura if she went to the mikvah a day early. So those 7 days are you know, there's no way to shorten those 7 days to six, right? Whereas the 5 days, what we're saying is not we're not being mako, but just the fifth day is really an added zera, and therefore the confusion, certainly you don't want to confuse yourself in either case. We're just showing the chilik in halacha and the reason why there's a chilik in halacha. Now there's one case where you don't need 5 days, and that is if a woman was asura already. Let's say, for example, a woman had a. Let's say, for example, she saw on a Shabbos. Let's say, okay. So Shabbos Sunday, Shabbos day one. Shabbos Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Wednesday is day five. Okay, but let's say on Tuesday she had a vest, right? Which means that she was a surah by definition, and she was pirish because of that. Because it was a time that she was expected to see, right? That's Vestas. We're not going to get into calculating those Vestas, but it was Vestas. And let's say the next day was Yom Kippur, right? So she's Vaitra Asura. In other words, it was Echitimso. I'm sorry, I went out of order here. She saw on a let's say Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, Sunday, Monday. She can do Hafsiktar on Monday, but she saw on Thursday. But Thursday happened to be Yom Kippur when she saw, and Wednesday she had a vest. Right, so now, by definition, she was really a surah. In other words, Chazal made a gzera that if the husband was out of town, the days don't start until she sees. However, where she's a surah b'hal halacha, because it's Tisha B'av, it's Yom Kippur, she has a vest, where Chazal sanctioned the period that they're pirish from each other, they separate, that could count towards 5 days. This case is not Soda Geya, but it's something to keep in mind, you know, in a Hekitimsa where you know, where these things happen, it may be able to shorten these days. Anyway, Al Kapan, those are the 5 days. On the fifth day, she does a Hefsek Tara. The Hefsek Tara should ideally be done later in the day. It should be ideally done within an hour of Shkia. That's the Mahuradik time. If a woman is at work, or she's on the road, or she's afraid she's going to forget, she doesn't wait for the last hour, then the Lechatchila time becomes from Mincha Ketana and on, which is roughly 2.5 hours before Shkia. In the winter, it's going to be 2 hours. In the summer, it's going to be 3 hours. But that's going to be the time of doing the Hefsek Tara. B'di'evan, we hold that the Hefsek Tara works all day. But that's a B'di'evan. So there are women who will do Hefsek Tara in the morning because they're afraid they're going to forget. And then if that happens, so let's say a woman did Hefsek Tara today in the morning, and Monday morning, and then she forgot B'di'evan, that Hefsek Tara will work for her. In fact, if let's say a woman did Hefsek Tara last night and after Shkia, if you do Hefsek Tara after Shkia, generally it's not good. There are discussion a few minutes afterwards, you ask a shayla if that happens, but for all intents and purposes, you want to do Hefsek Tara before Shkia. If a woman did Hefsek Tara, let's say last night, and what was Shkia, let's say it was five, what was it, about 5 o'clock or so, 5:15, 5:10, let's say 5:10, a woman did Hefsek Tara at 5:20, then it's too late, right? Hefsek Tara is too late. But then she forgot to do Hefsek Tara today, let's say. She didn't do Hefsek Tara a whole day today. So B'di'evan, we say last night works for today, right? Because she it's not the right time, but L'maisa, she shows that she's Tahira, or not Tahira is the wrong word, rather, she's clean, right? And now it works. Now that case means, now don't get confused here, the last night's Hefsek Tara, which is 10 minutes late, works as if the Hefsek Tara was a Monday Hefsek Tara, which means Tuesday's day one, next Monday's day seven, she can go to the mikvah on next Monday, right? So again, if she did Hefsek Tara yesterday before Shkia, and everything works out, then she goes to the mikvah Sunday night. If she did Hefsek Tara last night, this morning, this afternoon, then B'di'evan, that could be the good Hefsek Tara, and it's good. Now, L'chatchila, she's doing Maichtochuk, is where she inserts the bedika, and it stays for the period of Ben Hashmashas, and that is the proper way of doing it. So she does Hefsek Tara before Shkia, and she does a Mechdachuk afterwards. If a woman is irritated, then she could do a shorter Mechdachuk. There were some women who are always irritated, and therefore they could potentially skip the Mechdachuk. just a tip, if a woman had a heter to skip a menstruation, she should periodically ask the shayla, or at least gauge herself if she's still irritated. So there's a woman got a heter at age 25, not doing menstruation, doesn't necessarily mean that when she's 35, she still has the same heter. A woman will be able to gauge by her bedikas. She may say, look, even at 30, 10 years later, she's still irritated by many bedikas, and therefore menstruation certainly will irritate her. Or, you know, different women have different experiences at different ages of their life, and therefore she's no longer irritated, maybe she can do the machtochuk, which is again the l'chachila. Generally speaking, if you miss a machtochuk, generally speaking, b'dievet, it's okay. So Koleski Zatzal told me that if a woman has to skip a machtochuk, they should be more zahir to do the hafsiktara within the hour of shkia. In other words, whereas normally we say, okay, do it earlier, then do the machtochuk. If she's not doing the machtochuk, she should be more zahir to do the hafsiktara within the hour of shkia, because then at least it's bisman, because you're not, the machtochuk is really what's bisman, showing you're being mafsik between the days where she's seeing and the days where she's not seeing. If you don't have machtochuk, at least that hafsiktara should ideally come closer. Again, it's not b'dievet, it's not ma'akev, that's halacha. Now once hafsiktara is done, and remember, hafsiktara, people I find in the shilas that I get are sometimes too machmir and too mekel when it comes to the shiv nikiyim. There are people who take the term Nikiyim literally, and they think that it means that it has to be Naki, which means any color, anything is gonna throw me back to zero again. In other words, the process is, she has 5 days, then she has 7 days of Shiva Nikiyim, right? And now, at the end of Shiva Nikiyim, she goes to the mikvah. Just because she stays during the Shiva Nikiyim does not throw her back to zero again. And again, it's a misunderstanding of the literal translation. If she sees she's wearing white, right? The woman is wearing white, and if she sees dam, the dam is like a regular kesem. The same dinim of ksamim will apply. So, for example, if a kesem is less than a gris, less than the size of a penny, the halacha is that it does not aser a woman. Let's say she's wearing white begadim during not shiva nikiyim, just she should ideally she should wear color just for her own, not to get herself into shas. Let's say a woman's wearing white middle of the month, and she has a little stain. So we know that it doesn't answer her. She didn't have argosha. She didn't feel anything. It just was there. And now that does not answer her. That same halach applies to Shiva Nikiyim. A woman during Shiva Nikiyim that has a kesem less than a gris, it will not answer her. Right? I, Nikiyim. But again, that's the literal translation. And therefore, it does not answer. It has the same dinim. Certainly, if it's other colors that don't answer, brown typically doesn't answer. Yellow certainly doesn't answer, unless it's a very shiny, goldy yellow, maybe. But a regular yellow won't answer, so then it doesn't answer. So people tend to be overly, sometimes too machmir, because they misdefine naki, as we said. Me'elich gisa, some people are overly bakel. In other words, they, again, shiva nikiyim is where you want to make sure you do it properly. Ideally, she should wear white. Ideally, she should do 2 bedikas a day. So it comes out a grand total of 15 bedikas that she has. You have to have 16 bedikas. You have to have siktara, the mechdochuk, and 2 bedikas of shiva nikiyim. So again, if a woman did a siktara today at before shkia, then a mechdochuk. The mechdochuk goes from shkia until tzeis kechavim. Then she will now begin a shiva nikiyim. She'll do a bedikah tomorrow morning. She'll do a bedikah tomorrow afternoon, etc., all the way through 7 days. And therefore, she did a siktara today. Monday, she will be able to go to the mikvah. She'll do 2 bedikas on Monday and be able to go on Monday night, right? That's the din. Now, during this time, b'di'evet, if a woman missed b'dikas, so the halacha is, b'di'evet, the b'dikas are okay. What is the most ma'akev is the hafsiktara. You gotta have hafsiktara. And number two is, you need at least day 1 and day 7. Very famous halacha. Therefore, again, there are women who revert back to the minimum. They do hafsiktara, they do day 1 and day 7. Again, if you have that child and you had that heter, so be it. L'maisa, it's a good eitzah to do another one, to do 1, 3, and 7. The reason is, if a woman misses 7 without any other bedikas, there's a major, major problem if she only had 1 and 8. So if she did 1, 3, and 8, then that's clearly in the paiskim, it's mutter. 1 and 8 is very sure to be mekel. And then it becomes very, you know, stressful. She missed it, you got to ask the shilas. If she did 1, 3, and 8, again, I'm talking about where a woman, this all should be viewed as a bedievet here, but in that hechitim, so where she has that heter, she should do, 1, 3, and 8. I get asked often, should it be at night or by day, by afternoon or by day? It doesn't matter. In other words, you got to have 1 on day 1 and 1 on day 7. Whereas the din of shkia by hefsek tyra, where it's much more chomer, the woman did the day 7 bedika, and it was late. But let's assume she did every other day, right? She did every day, and day 7 she missed the morning. She did one after shkia. We're much more makel on that day 7 bedika after shkia. That not that l'chachil be done that way, but we're much more makel. So you shouldn't, you know, you don't want to be over machmir on yourself, and that is that. Oh, it was after shkia. It's no good. That's it. You got to go tomorrow. Not negatesi. In other words, not necessarily. You should ask a shayla and see exactly, you know, what the times are, and you know, and what the story is.
So how does that work? Bedikas yom. You need bedikas yom, don't you? So how does it work after shkia?
Yes. Well, what you're doing is being mitzdarif. If a woman did a bedikah every day, so then the fact that day 7 is ma'akev is a machlokes rishonim.
Right.
So now what you're doing is you're being mitzdarif. A, maybe if you missed that bedikah, there's what to be saimachan, and it was banish mashas. See, that's the tara you need. There's no way around that. So now it's after shkia, on the tzad that it was after shkia, and it's night, you had no hefsek tara. So that's why after shkia by hefsek tara is much more chomer.
Push it to the next.
There's only one tzad. It's either day or night. Whereas day 7, we are machmir if you missed the day 7 bedika. But that's if you missed it in Gansen. But if you did it after shkia, it's kind of like a svek svek. Number one is mechatesi, day 7 is ma'akev. That's a machloikas. And even if it is ma'akev, well, I did it banish mashas, and therefore I had the bedika. That especially the work, but if a woman did all other bedikas and she does day 7 by accident after shkia, then that's going to be that's going to be okay. Again, all of that is where it was b'dievet good.
Day I actually the same?
What's that?
She does day 1 banish mashas. Same.
Well, day 1 banish mashas is a little more chomer because it's at the beginning. In other words, day seven. Yeah, there you say okay. See, if a woman missed there, you're only putting them a day behind. This is an important child. If a woman, then I'll come to your case. If a woman did have sektara, she missed day 1. She forgot. Okay, she doesn't go back to 0. She still had to have sektara. She just didn't have the day 1. So let's say a woman did have sektara yesterday, Sunday. It was good. Hefsek Tara before Shkia, no Shilas. And she was like, everything was great. Okay, comes Monday, and she didn't do a Bedika this morning, she didn't do a Bedika today. She comes tonight already, it's certainly too late now, it's right? Posh is too late. She said, oh, I forgot to do a Bedika today. The halach is her Hefsek Tara of yesterday still stands. Right? It still stands. So she has Hefsek Tara Sunday. Day 1 is going to come tomorrow, Tuesday. So we don't send it back to 0. If we send it back to 0, that means if let's say she had a bad bedikah today, she'd go back to 0. Tuesday, she'd have to do a hefsek tara tomorrow, and she couldn't go to the mikvah until Tuesday night. She did hefsek tara on Sunday. She skipped Monday. She forgot. And now comes Tuesday, right? So now Tuesday becomes day 1. She goes to the mikvah Monday night. Right? You hear the chiluk? In other words, she did hefsek tara Sunday, but she can go to the mikvah Monday night because Tuesday's day 1. Monday's day 7. So in the case where a lady missed the shkia on day 1, that's a little bit less pashut, because all that says is, okay, you missed the bedikah today, you'll do it tomorrow, you'll go a day later. The problem with day 7, if you're machmir, right, so now, right, it may, depending on how many bedikahs she did, it's a little bit more, it's a bigger shasachak. She's supposed to go tonight, she's not going to go, there's several reasons why this becomes a bigger shasachak, and therefore we are... it's much easier to be makel, but in the Hanami, you can have placement day 1 maybe. You know, in that case, what's that?
You could have another tzibur day 1 as a mochtach again because lada shma v'yika.
Right, maybe. Right. So you ask a shaila how many minutes afterwards, and etc. Actually, I don't like. I get sometimes shailas from women. They'll call up and they'll say, "I did a bedika, Monday night. I didn't have time Monday night." I always say, "You mean Monday day, right?" Right. In other words, when you say Monday night, what they really mean is, especially in the summer, you could do a bedikah at 8:30. Right? Shkia is not till 8:40 in June. 8:38. So 8:30 is good. So a woman will say, "I did a bedikah Monday night." I always, just to be 100% sure, I say, "Oh, you mean Monday afternoon, right?" And I guess 99 out of 100. I don't know if I ever even said night. I'm not sure. But just I mean in the day. In other words, because they did the bedikah Monday night, then it's a problem. In other words, you can't do hefsek tara Monday night, right? That's not good. So I was just again, it's different tara lashmei adam. Lashmei adam is to say Monday night, but again, legally, it has to be Monday day in order to be considered a hefsek tara. Okay, so now during one other important point here is that. And it's some of these things may be from Pshutim, but I just to reiterate it, because again, there's always a chance that someone misunderstood. Because again, many of these halachas are similar, but yet so different. the din of a kesem, that it's less than a penny, is only by a kesem. It's only where the woman saw dam, where about a batika cloth, we're machir, even if it's a small amount. Any small amount that's red is a problem, because it's a batika has a whole different situation than a kesem. So whereas a kesem, we have all these various kulas, but if it's a batika cloth, then the halacha is a problem. Now, we have in Baltimore, Baruch Hashem, we have a women who are baidek, right, baidpes, and that's just to remind the oil, this is a very important program. It's part of the mikvah, and that is as follows: you could have a chitinsa where a woman does a bedika, and let's say day seven, and she brings it to the rav, or her husband brings it to the rav. The rav looks at it, and says it's no good, but you know what? This is not dam nida. Okay. Now the rav cannot, if a rav sees dam, he cannot say, "I know that this is not dam nida." You know, I'm able to tell that. You know, David HaMelech was able to mavchin ben dam l'dam, right? But as the Gemara Bracha says, but a rav cannot look at a bedika cloth and make that declaration and say, "I know this is not dam nida." You have to know where it came from. Now you may find a red smear, and then you say, "This looks like makeup," and then the lady say, "Oh, taka. I just put on my makeup. It was Arab Shabbos, and I put on my makeup." And gradually, you look at the makeup, and you see, that's taka the same color on the batika cloth. So then in a chanami, that's good enough. You don't need to be checked. By the way, when you send the batika cloth, you're welcome to send the batika cloth. I have a mail slot at home. Stick it to the mail slot if I'm in town. I usually don't leave my house till after 8:10 is typically the earliest I leave, unless I have bris or something. But if you leave it there, I'll see it that day. If not, you're welcome to bring it to the Star K during the day, or you can leave it at home. In the summer, I'll get it, you know, during the day. Or it may not be a rush. You can leave it in the mail slot. We leave it in the mail slot. The best thing is to put it in a sealed envelope with your initials and phone number on it. That's the best way. It's the best way to wrap a batika cloth is to let it dry and put it in an envelope. Right? That is the best way to do it. Not plastic. Plastic keeps it moist and it's harder to check. Not wet. You don't put it wet in the envelope because then it peels off. You don't want to put a red sticky note in there, which I've gotten those. Okay, or a red pen saying day one, right? So now I got to be mavchin ben dam l'dam, right? Right. You don't want to do that either. Trust me, I've seen it all, right? All of them. Right, and I always have to like sheepishly remind them, maybe you don't want to use the red notes. Oh yeah, I didn't think of that, because it gets wet. You have a red batika cloth, and now you're in trouble. So you want to keep it. You know, but that's the ideal way. You don't want to wait too long on a batika cloth either. In other words, you don't want to, you know, wait. You know, four or five days. Obviously, a day or two later is certainly not a problem. You don't want to put it in a tissue. If you bring it to me on Shabbos, right, then the best thing is to bring it in an envelope, right? Bring it in some sort of envelope, or wrap it up in some sort of something, not a tissue. I once had someone gave me a Shabbos batika cloth Shabbos before davening, and I looked at it. I said, I got to look at this later. Right, I stuffed it in my pocket. Well, you know, on my way out of shul, I checked my pocket for tissues, and you know, and I see, oh, there's a tissue, I threw it away. Right? And I don't remember what happened in that case, right? But that's like a rough nightmare. A rough nightmare is losing batika cloth. And here it was like, it was in a tissue, like I had to remember, I'll cup that this tissue was not a regular tissue. That's also risky. I recently, mamish, within the last week, someone sent me, you want to mark the batika cloth, the best is to put a mark on the cloth itself with a blue pen, right? I had mamish this week, right? You have to understand, how is a rav going to look at these? If he's sending more than one batika cloth, and let's say one was from Wednesday afternoon, right? And one was from Wednesday morning. This morning, let's say he brought me two batika cloths from yesterday. Very good. You had two batika cloths, your wife had one on the Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon. It was day five, let's say. And now you okay, perfect. You know, you have them, wrap them up. You're not going to come out at night. You bring them tomorrow, this morning. You give me the envelope at shul. You stick it in the mailbox. Okay, so I had this hanky timsa where I looked at one of the bedikas was good, and one of the bedikas was no good. Okay, but they were unmarked. And so what happens when I get the bedika cloths at any rav, I pulled them out and looked at them, right? They weren't marked. And one was good, one was not good. He told me the one in the envelope was the one that was his simon. He put one batika cloth in an envelope, and the other one was just in the bag with the bagot. So, like, I didn't remember. In other words, when I looked at them, I don't know how what it came out of. So now it was lost. So now I had to return it to the Zid, came by for his batika cloth. His wife was able to tell I left a bad one in the envelope for him to pick up, and his wife was able to tell which one was the bad one. I'm just illustrating these stories just when they're being looked at, they're going to be donned on, and you want to make sure that it's in the best, it's in the oifen ayesa toiv of how you're leading it. Okay, so finally, end of the 7 days, she does the bedikas. Oh, so the bedikas are as follows. So if a woman has a bad bedika, a rav will look at it and say, maybe there's irritation. Were you irritated? She'll say, yes. A rav cannot paskin that. She needs to be checked. Okay? Now, there are women in town, again, it's through the mikveh. What you do is you call your rav, and then your rav gets in touch with one of the bedikas. There's a master number to call. There's one lady who coordinates all of them. They find the lady who does the bedika, and then someone will call you, or you'll get a number, and these are all nurses. All the bikers in town are nurses, and you will, you know, get a call or a phone number or a text or whatever it is. This is who you call, and you make an appointment, and you go. Now, if it's in the morning, there are doctors that do it, doctors and nurses and physician assistants, etc., that do it. The idea of the Bedika program was for at night or on Sundays or Friday afternoon or Matzah Shabbos, etc., where a woman needs it. And now, what they do is they check. If they were in touch with the Rav, if they find the irritation, enough that could have been Maitzi Dam, then we assume that the Bedika was bad because of this irritation. Now, that's not necessarily going to matter you, because you still may need a bedika. In other words, if a woman did one bedika on day 7, and the bedika was no good, and we determined that it was from a makkah, she still needs a good bedika. So, again, that's why the rav has to be consulted to go through exactly now what's the next step. But it's kedai to know, and this has mamish, I mean, I dealt with 7 day, you know, women day 7 with bad bedikas, where I sent the women from out of town, from in town, and it's a maridika program, because mamish women who would have normally had no way of going to the mikveh tonight were able to go, and instead they have to postpone an entire week because of the bikas. They were able to determine that this was okay. Sometimes women go to the bikas and they say they don't see any dam, and that's it. The rabbis say, okay, you know, it's a bad bedika, and that's it, right? So again, it's not a catch all, but rather it certainly helps. Okay, now a woman then is able to go to the mikveh. And those various halachas, again, shishul chaz are over the various halachas of you know, those dinim, exactly the hachana, which we're not going to get into, that is there. Well, a husband should not be overburdening, OCD on the wife. The wife who suffers from OCD maybe should see somebody to elaborate. If a woman is every woman is uneasy. It's normal to be uneasy, right? There's a bit of a nerve-wracking experience. There's a lot of things going on. So if your wife is nervous, certainly that's understood. You should be a chazaker. You don't want to be overbearing. And, okay, let's go through the checklist, right? You know, dear, let's go through the checklist. You got this big checklist with 98 things on it. That's no reason for that, right? No reason for that. Not tzuka past. There's nothing wrong with reminding, right? You don't. I think it may be tzuka past to remind a wife on day 1 and day 7. You know, just ask nicely, you know, did you remember doing bedikah today? You don't need to remind every day. The reason for that is, and again, if you make up with your wife that's what you want to do, then it's understood that that's done. The mile of that is that you're talking reminding her. Women get busy and they forget. It's not overburdening, and it's the two that are ma'akev. The day they have siktara also, if she was able to have siktara, and that's a little bit trickier because you don't know what day they have siktara. But day 5 doesn't mean that she can do the have siktara. I mean, day 5 is when she saw. So the reminder there, unless she says in the morning, you know, I think I do have siktara today. Then you say, oh, how did it go? Right? Was it good? There's nothing wrong with that. And then, oh, that siktara was good. So you remind day 1, day 7. There's a mile to that, because if she misses day 1, she feels bad. Or she misses day 7, she certainly feels bad. Then you gotta ask a shiloh. All sorts of unnecessary stress, especially Thursday night. Imagine a woman missed Thursday night a bedika, and then Friday night you're gonna be by your parents, right? By her in-laws. Right? So like, oh, it all could have been avoided if she just would have done bedika. So all she needed was a reminder, a friendly reminder. So again, if you make up with your wife that you're going to remind her, and that's just, you know, I think that's a proper thing, as long as, you know, again, everybody says, I don't need to be reminded. Everybody has to know, you know, their various spouses and how that works. But again, it's kedai, because at the end of the day, it may save on more stress, and it's not overburdening, and it's not being, totally on top of the situation. Again, if a woman is overly nervous, then it's a problem. Mikveh is not meant to be nervous. It's mashalat of a dime. Imagine Shabbos. People were nervous. You know, they walk into the room. Oh, there's a light switch there. Oy vey. I can't go, you know, within 10 feet of the light. And then a boirer, you know, watermelon. No, we can't serve watermelon in this house. Right? And then, you know, chicken. We can't have chicken either because of the bones. And, like, everything becomes a loyal item. There are people who suffer from this. And if somebody has that, it certainly is treatable. And, you know, one should see those warning signs of if and when that's happening. And certainly it could be helped. Okay. Now let's talk about hachakas. When the wife is asura, then there are hachakas. That's really very relevant to men because hachakas by definition mean distancing between the husband and the wife. Well, the sefer that just came out from Shulmeyer Katz, sefer Yad Tara, for Piske Dinim from him, and the Pesach in Lakewood. So I actually learning through it last night, and a Gavalic expansion on really the basics. But just I'll just share with you just again the general hachakas and, you know, throw in some of the things that were said. There's halacha kalas roish, which I've mentioned for many years, and we see it in halacha. It's a machaber. You can't have a kalas roish. What is kalas roish? He actually elaborates on some of the kudus. That's what was very safer was I saw just elaborate mamish, like down to earth basic examples. Kalas roish is usur, which are things that ludaber diburim hamargin la'erva. In other words, talking with one spouse of things is a certain, when a woman is muteris, there's certain statements that the husband and wife, statements of affection, etc., that are made by Nishal Ishtai, when those types of statements cannot be made when she's a surah. He gives examples. Number one, if you wouldn't be a surah, I would like to do this, right? By saying that statement, that's kalos reich, because basically you're saying, that's a nisk for Shabbos Karet type of statement, right? It's the same idea. If you would be muteris, this is what I would want to do right now. Right, so that obviously that's kalos reish because that could be boli de avera. By the way, all these are two way streets. Not only the husband saying to the wife, it's the wife saying to the husband. It's also, he says, it's usher by emailing or texting. You know, you can't say, well, I didn't say anything to her. I only texted or emailed. That's also a problem as well. To, you know, you can send a nice email to your wife, complimentary email, thank you, but again, romantic statements via email should not be made, or text should not be made during when she's a surah. Compliments are mutter, being mechazik is mutter, even a joke, you know, a regular classic joke, to laugh, a riddle, if as long as they're not binyanei erva, it's not a problem. Okay, as we said, mekayim is a mechusim, or a problem, that means you cannot see her in normal areas that are normally uncovered, excuse me, areas that are normally covered, well, a husband should not see when she is a surah. We are naig machlekes apaiskim about singing. We're naig also not that she should not sing when she's a surah, and also even covering hair, ideally. Now there again, it's not always so practical when she goes to sleep. You know, but lemaisa, one should be makbid, ideally that as well. But certainly, if she has various clothing or nightgowns, etc., that are more revealing when she's a surah, that certainly those should not be worn in such a hechitim. So furthermore, you don't want to see her swimming in a swimsuit or even dancing as well on a treadmill, exercising when she's a surah. In other words, she's covered, but that should not be done. Again, because all of those are types of affection. That's why also, just what you mentioned, one should not exercise in an area where women are exercising, even if they're covered. Certainly mixed swimming is certainly a problem, but even exercising is a problem. This is a problem in town. If you're in a gym which is all men, or in a gym that has men's hours, or in a gym that has a men's section is the wrong word, men's room, which is exclusively for men, that's fine. One should not work out in a gym or in a treadmill where there are women there. It's I think, unfortunately, people are michshol in this, and it's a problem, right? It's a problem because it is. It's bali day, you hear hurim, etc. You know, they're totally covered, but the mere movements and motions, both when they dance or when they do exercise, is certainly bali day avera, bali day hurim, etc., and therefore one should be careful.
Wedding videos, they're full of women dancing.
Yeah, so the real ones, if you really want, right? Yeah. I could say that my daughters, that we only, I think one of them, we've finally discovered that you could actually, they'll make them separate for you.
Yeah.
They'll make the men's ones, the women's ones, etc. But I, you know, I... I didn't watch them.
Just
right?
Don't watch. Yeah,
it's hard. A little snippet here. Yeah, men's dancing. Yeah. It's very. Yeah. You know, come out and watch them. Yeah. You know, maybe the opening dance. It's a problem. It's not a big problem, right? And it really is. That's why they have separate dancing. Even you know, even weddings that are, people should you know make a simcha. You should certainly have separate. But even those chasanas, Baruch Hashem, at least in town, if people are making mixed chasanas, at least Baruch Hashem, the dancing is not mixed. Generally speaking, and not only not mixed, it's separate, meaning there is a mechitza by the dance, because that's pashut. Again, it's baldy day, all sorts of problems. Sending a kiss is a problem, that he writes that in the Sefer. But playing games, chess, or stratego, or board games, or cards, certainly it's not a problem. I once asked a shot to Tzvi Berkowitz Shlita many years ago. I was in Kail. He told me once to be Zohar. Actually, Rabbi Katz writes, a person should talk to be Zohar, Pshas al Chak one can be Mekel. Is it mutter to hold the psalmim for your spouse? Where, in other words, it's Havdalah time. Right, Havdalah time. So now you're you know, you hold the psalmim. So I take psalmim, I make Havdalah to put it to your wife. Is that a problem or not? So yeah, she's Zohar, because again, it's a certain chiba with it. Rabbi Katz writes in the Sefer, though, if yesh acherim, it's mutter. In other words, if you're embarrassed, now you're going to have to put it down. You're allowed to do this. And this you learn as a chassan, but it's worth reiterating. And that is that when you make havdalah, if your wife's asura, stand on opposite sides of the table. In other words, you don't need to. It's embarrassing. You don't need to announce. In other words, there's no heter. There's no heter for any achakas in front of people. There's only one achaka that's mutter that we're makel on in front of other people, and that's having. Having a hefsek between the husband and the wife. That's it. In other words, if you meet with other people, then you should have something between you and your wife. If you're eating alone with your wife, there are no children around, then you should have something on the table that's noticeable, that's normally not there. If there are other people at the table, then it's not a problem. That's it. Otherwise, all the other chuk is passing, etc., it's not a problem. Even though there's a bush element, but you know, Rabbi speaks about this. That you know, it is what it is. The way around it is to situate yourself in a way that you don't have to worry about it. So if your wife's on the other side of the table, you're not going to pass it to someone because anyone on the other side of the table doesn't matter. You pass it to the next person, or even you pass it to a kid. You know, it's you know, they understand it's for mommy. So that's really the best way. Or if you're in a public scenario and you have your car keys and you have to give them to your wife because she's coming to the chasana that you're at to get your car. Think ahead and put yourself in a scenario where you're not going to have to put them down in front of somebody, so you avoid that busha. Fine, okay. Now within the din of achakas, there are various. Let me go through you know, item by item here on the achakas. There are those that are you know there. Chazal made various protections. The ikar, of course. Tashamita is kind of krisis when she's asura. That includes when she's seeing those 5 days. That includes during Shiva Nikim until a woman goes to the mikveh. She's 100% asura. If a person's in a scenario where there is no mikveh, she remains asura. Right? Period. There's no, you know, she's asura. Chibuk and nishuk, that means hugging and kissing, according to many Rishonim, is asur min ha-Torah. Similar to Bali Rabbi Matzeh by Pesach, right? These are gezeiros of the Torah itself. To protect one from coming to further potential isurim. And then Chazal added various harchakas as well of things that will potentially cause a certain either chiba or closeness and shaykhus between the husband and the wife. So one of the yigabai, right? You can't touch her. You cannot touch her clothing while it's on her. There are actually 11 different types of touching that occurred. One is negiya, you know, direct negiya. There's shachiba. There's not chiba. There's hashata. You're not allowed to pass something between the husband and the wife. A person should not. Well, if the wife is holding the baby, you should not kiss the baby while your wife is holding the baby. That should not be done. However, putting a pacifier or a bottle in the mouth of a baby while the mother is holding the baby is not a problem. A person should not touch the items that she is holding. Like if she's holding a pocketbook, even the Giyali Deidavar Acher is a problem. In other words, you take a pen and you want to tap her on the shoulder. You know, oh, I'm here, I can't, I'm here. Tap her on the shoulder, the halacha is, that would be aser. Whereas when I shut, there's a problem, even if it's long, you know, you want to pass an umbrella, like I'll hold one end, you hold the other, that's a problem. Throwing is a problem. However, you don't pass a door. If you want to hold the door open, you swing the door open and hold it, and the wife takes the door from your hand, that's not a problem, right? That's not, you don't pass a door. The door is b'chulin karka, and it's not that's not a problem in such a case. You're not allowed to be naga in her clothing. Again, you're not allowed to throw something. The old famous ping pong, Shiloh, you should not pour. You can play board games. You don't want to play ping pong. It's a problem. As we said, even if others are present. Actually, under an umbrella is mutter, b'shas hachag, if you only have one umbrella, if you could stay far enough apart. If you have a mini umbrella, it's going to be a problem because you're going to end up touching each other. But if it's a large umbrella, then it's talach is it's not a problem. You cannot put the tablecloth on together. It's a problem, right? So you want a Shabbos, you know, you want to put the Shabbos morning, the tablecloth that's on, or take the plastic, you need two people, long table. That's a problem because, again, you're both holding the item. Shopping furniture is pashna is a problem. If you want it in a scenario where they're stuck, they should ask a shayla. If it's heavy furniture and they're moving and they have no eitzah, usually you can find somebody else, and it's not a problem. Even it's also to blow something off of her. Because if a woman has something on her, a face of dirt or a feather or something or a bug, you cannot blow it off unless it's something that's going to bite her or potentially hurt her. Whereas blowing is a problem, you are allowed to turn on the air conditioning or a fan. That's not considered a problem in such a timso. Okay, so that is that's the din of the gi. You should also not hold a child. You should not pass a child from the husband to the wife. It depends on the age of the child. If it's a baby that doesn't lunge, then it's usur. In other words, this obviously is challenging. When a woman has a baby, we should mention, a woman has a baby, she becomes a surah, she's mutaris for 9 months, then all of a sudden she's a surah for typically an extended period of time, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, 7 weeks, 8 weeks, depending on how long it takes. I got to get to Shiloh periodically. A lot of times the doctors, after a woman has a baby, the doctors recommend that they should not have relations until after they've been examined. The typical examination comes after 6 weeks. Women will sometimes be able to become tahira earlier. There's nothing wrong with becoming tahira, even though she's not going to be able to have relations because the doctor won't let her. In other words, she goes to the mikveh tonight, but she's not seeing the doctor till Thursday. There's nothing wrong with going to the mikveh tonight. In other words, even though normally we say leil tefillah, right? But again, it's a leil tefillah with an oinus, and therefore it's not a problem. Another shayla I get often, and this is agav, but the shayla that comes to mind, is if a woman is in a scenario where she's not going to be able, for whatever reason, to have relations on a given night, she can still go to a mikveh that night. Let's say her husband's out of town. In fact, sometimes it's more advisable. Let's say the husband's out of town. He's out of town through tomorrow night. He's coming home on, Wednesday. Tonight's Monday. He's out of town. She could have done, let me use a more negay example with the times we're right now. Let's say you're going to be out of town next week. You're going out of town Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. You're not coming home until Friday. Okay? And now your wife says to you, okay, I could do, tomorrow's day five. Day five of the five, she saw on Shabbos, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Shabbos, Friday, Shabbos, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, she can do Hefsek Tahara tomorrow. Okay, she could do an Hefsek Tahara. There's nothing wrong with doing an Hefsek Tahara tomorrow. And even then, now she's done Tuesday night. Now, Tuesday night, you're away next week, right? But it's better. Some people make the mistake. They say, well, my husband's going to be out of town anyway. Again, I don't want to go to the mikvah because he's not around. So I'll wait to do the Hefsek Tahara until Thursday or Friday when I know he'll be back in town. You don't want to do, there's nothing wrong with doing everything early and being ready to go to the mikvah. And even going to the mikvah. Why? Because number one, maybe trips get canceled. In other words, if she waits till Thursday, then the trip gets canceled. Big snowstorm, right? And she doesn't go. Now, he could have been mutaris. That's one reason. The second reason, maybe it's a more convenient night to go. Thursday night might not be so convenient. Husband's coming home the next day. She's busy making Shabbos, etc. So there's nothing wrong with going to the mikvah on the most convenient night. So she finishes next Tuesday. Now, she can go Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night. She says, okay, Tuesday night's not so good. I'll go Wednesday night. It's not a problem, right? It's not a problem going. There's a shiloh of a wife going to the mikvah when the husband's away. Well, nights that were makel. There's some that are like to put a knife under the pillow when the husband is away. You could use a plastic knife if you want. It's not a problem. Your wife can use a plastic knife, that is. And that's a hiddur in if a woman goes to the mikveh when the husband is away. Anyway, the husband and wife should not swing a child. When the child is when the wife is asura, again they should not hold the child together, swing the child, not pass the child. If the child is old enough and lunges, so you have a child of one, you know, knows mommy, the husband is holding the child and the child lunges towards the mother, that's mutter because it's not miyada liyada, it's the child who is, you know, carrying himself in such a case. Whereas holding the child together is a problem, but giving medicine is not a problem. So you have the husband's going to hold the child down, and the wife is going to give medicine. You cannot say that that is miyada liyada derechiba in any shape or form. It's usually, you know, it's very stressful, and therefore there's not a problem in such a case.
If the kid's old enough to lunge over to the wife,
he's lunging the back.
That's a question. Tell him, don't you want to go to mommy? Right? So Pasha, they should be lunging. They're not lunging. They should be in some sort of, you know, movement.
It's not by an age. It's not like that. Sort of like it's 4 years old. You can just go here.
Right. It should be. Usually, there is some interest. I mean, man of shock. They're old enough at that stage. They're either going or not going. You know what I'm saying? If they're not going, they don't want to go anyway. So you don't need to ask them. In such a case. Okay. The other hachakas are at mealtime. You need a heker, as we mentioned, a placemat or something down. You cannot eat the leftovers of your wife. This is one of the ones that are one way. If your wife has leftovers, then you cannot eat. That's only the leftovers of the wife. In general, Chazal understood that a man is going to be over quicker than the wife, and the man gets a greater interest quicker. And therefore, there were certain derechiba type of inyan, and they were machmir only in this direction. So if a wife has leftovers, then you should not eat that out of her kais as well. You could change the kais. If she drank, then you could, you know, switch the cup. In other words, pour it out into a different cup, and then it's not a problem. That's known as shiur and maichel. You should not eat off of one plate. You could have one serving plate. So if you have a bag of popcorn, you should not eat both out of the popcorn. You should put it down. In other words, you have a plate. You each have a plate, and in that case, one would put it down on your plate. She puts it on her plate, and then it's not a problem. There's a machlokes on plates can buy a dip. So it's best to put on a separate plate. In other words, you have a dip with chips. I have the husband has chips, the wife has chips. They're luchar eating out of one thing, because when the husband puts it in and the wife puts it in, they're eating out of it. And therefore, you should take from the dip, put it on a plate. Serving both the husband to the wife and vice versa, it should be done with a shinui or put down in a different spot. Pouring a cup, if water is mutter, other beverages are a problem. This shaila by wine certainly is a problem. But we are generally noyig by other beverages. So therefore, if you are at a simcha, I've told the story over, but there was someone who was a chassan, someone who was single, and there was a husband and wife sitting at Shabrachas with him, and he says, "What's the matter? You don't pour for your wife? What kind of husband are you?" And they were mortified. And when this bacher got engaged and learned halachas, he became mortified, right? Because he thought that he had been mavaza this husband and wife. So, you know, that's not never good comments to make. That's the chagav. A musar is other people's, you know, husband and wife relationship. You never want to tell a joke between a husband and a wife like that. Like, why do you pour for your wife? Why are you causing the wife to be upset at the husband? Maybe the wife doesn't care. And all of a sudden, hey, you're right. You never want to get between, you know, Ben Ishtai if somebody else's husband. First of all, in many cases, not sneeze. It's not appropriate for you to do that. Okay, that's your own brother and sister-in-law. So then, you know, you can be a little more hamish, obviously, but you don't want to, you know, put them in a such a situation. And again, the jokes are certainly on your own wife. You certainly don't want to make jokes. That's one of the big problems. And again, what goes on Ben Ishtai of others is not our business. In such a hitimza. Beds, you cannot sleep in the same bed. They should not touch each other. You should set up your room in a way that the beds are apart. Ideally, they're at arm's length apart from each other. That's a chumrah. Your whole bedroom should be set up that way. If you're in a place, you're in a room that's, you know, in an apartment somewhere that's so small, you want to make sure that the beds do not touch. They cannot have the same headboard. Your headboard should be different headboards as well. You're allowed to sit in the chair of the wife. Or if she has a couch, she sits in, you know, she normally sits on this side of the couch. this is not a problem. You cannot sit on the same couch where the pillows are going to move. Okay, so those are the really a touch up on various halachas. Again, there's more, a lot more there. It's kedai lechazer over. They're very svarim. Again, they're new svarim that are out. If you've chazered, if you learned hilchas nida in the past, if you get hold of some of the new svarim, both in English and lashon hakodesh, it's kedai to read over for either things you might have missed or new hechtimses that shalos that you have in the svarim today. You know, unbelievable. So, quick questions, then we'll go to Marv. Yes. If a woman goes to the mikveh and the husband is out of town, there's a minig of putting a knife under the pillow.
It's Alpi Kabbalah, probably.
It's Alpi Kabbalah.
Yeah.
I only know Alpi Kabbalah. So I'm mentioning a much better Torah. It's not something that's all over, but it exists. That's again with a wife. It's not common. A wife goes to the mikveh, the husband's out of town. Out of town means he's not going to be home that night. If the husband's in a chasen in New York, coming home 2 in the morning, that's not the eighth nivud. He's away. He's not coming until tomorrow or an hour later. Okay. So again, maybe, but again, sometimes it's less convenient because maybe he's coming home. You know, he's coming home 5-6 o'clock. Just go to the mikveh. He's coming home that night. He's walking in from the airport 6 o'clock. Why should she be away? Fakert, she should be home when she gets right. So there's many reasons that she might want to be bedafka home. Okay, Shkai, if you have questions, I'll ask Shkai. I'll get tomorrow.